Hello, friends. Welcome to the Honor Hour podcast, where we explore the art of slowing down, herbalism, the wonders of nature, holistic living, the soulful path of creating with heart, and so much more. I'm your host, Sarah McKeon, a mama of two, herbalist, and founder of Honor Earth Apothecary. And I'm so glad you're here. Through reflections and conversations, we'll uncover how to honor ourselves, the earth, and each other throughout the many stories and seasons of our lives. So brew your favorite tea, settle in, and let's journey forth together with open hearts, curious minds, and spirits rooted in reverence. I'm so excited to welcome Bea Rose onto the podcast today. Bea is the heart and hands behind Aegis for Love, a holistic skincare and body care line whose creations are as intentional as they are beautiful. Bea's journey is one of self-reclamation, surrender, and the courage to redefine success on her own terms. In this conversation, we talk about how choosing yourself shifts everything, from how you navigate pivots in business and life to the way you age, to the way you mother, create, and love. So, without further ado, let's dive in. So Bea, when I first started Honor Earth Apothecary, when I had the vision for it, I didn't have a website, no proof of concept. You were the very first person to respond with a yes, that you would allow your offerings to be a part of Honor Earth. And at that point, I had gotten a lot of no's and a lot of not yets because I had nothing except my words and my vision. And for me, that was like a deep exhale, a knowing of this is the path for me and what I want to do, and really gave me momentum. And I'd love for you to share 2 to 3 pivotal points for you in your Aegis for Love journey that felt like that deep exhale, that knowing of this is what I'm meant to do. And maybe that even helped you through some tough times.
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. First of all, I want to say thank you so much for sharing that with me. I had no idea. And it really is so meaningful. And I love that I was that yes for you, because I love to be yes. I love to be yes within my own life. And of course, as I get older, I also love no when it's right for me, right? But yes is a really wonderful thing. And what you've built and created is so incredible. I'm honored to be a part of it. I'm going to say honor 1,000 times in this podcast, probably.
I love it.
H is for honor. Yeah, so 2 to 3 times. Well, I would say the origin story of H would be staring at this oak that sits behind my house that I'm looking at right now through the windows, and knowing that I was meant to start something with H and not having a name for it, but knowing that I was so obsessed with what I was creating that there must be something in that interest that was guiding me. And I was praying and just, you know, conversing with my creator, the higher power, whatever you want to call it. And I said, I don't have the money to start this thing. And if you want me to do it, you're going to just have to give me the money. And it felt almost irreverent to say that. And then I promptly forgot about it. And a couple weeks later, I got a check for $5,000 unexpectedly. Nobody knew I had been having this conversation with God. Nobody knew anything. And it was just a gift from someone. And I used every penny of that money and a little more, maybe $2,000 more. So $7,000 to do all of my research and development and begin to buy my first oils and my bottles and jars. And to me, that is clearly a sign. It's also what I've learned, and what I learn as I get older, is that when doors open easily, which is not to say that hard work isn't sometimes really necessary, but when doors open easily and you're in flow, you can feel it. And so that would be one full body yes that happened. And actually, I'll fast forward to now, which is exactly 10 years later. And numbers are really interesting to me, the meaning of numbers. I think 10 is the number of completion, or is that 12? I don't know. I'll have to look it up. But we're in our 10th year now. Is what I was telling you before we got on here, which is that I was fighting a pivot in my business and my hand was forced and I need to now move from the studio I'm in to a new space. And I was fighting it because my brain was making up all kinds of stories and passing judgment on that. And one day it finally clicked. It's only a quote unquote failure if I call it that. Nobody else is calling it that, to have to move. And actually it's turned out to be the most incredible, amazing growth opportunity. But what I had to do was surrender. And so I'm learning constantly through this business and through this work. It really echoes my personal life and so many lessons that we all need to learn all the time. And I always have to remember to surrender.
What does surrender, what is that feeling like for you in your day-to-day life right now? Because I think so often so much is competing for not only our attention, but kind of our alignment and us staying grounded into our own intuition. So what does surrender look like for you right now in this season?
I would say surrender is like a minute-to-minute practice for me, because my brain and my ego is constantly trying to take over and direct my life. And it's funny because having experienced quite a number of those moments, like I just described, where I finally surrender and then I realize I'm in flow, you would think I would know it. And that, you know, every time my ego starts to take over, I would notice, but I don't. And so how it looks right now is I'm consuming a whole lot of information through mostly books, audible books, because I don't sit down long enough to actually hold a book most of the time unless I'm sun tanning. And it's really all about actually tapping into intuition right now for me, because what I've realized is I've made the wisest, most amazing, beautiful, love-driven, lack of fear-driven choices in my life when I listen to my intuition. And really all of our decisions come down to either love or fear. It's really only those two things. You can boil everything down to that. And anything made in love is going to be on purpose and on track with your life's purpose. And anything made out of fear is going to feel like chaos, you know? So mostly I'm just reading a lot of audible books. And what that looks like is constantly trying to remind myself, because I think there's so much in flux in my life right now. I just need a stream of words to remind myself to breathe and to trust. And then I go through periods of more silence, but right now it's just lots of reminding.
Yeah. Reminding you to remember, to remember you and your intuition. I think when I was younger, I had this idea about surrender that it was kind of like we just allowed life to happen to us. But as I've gotten older, I've realized that surrender is really being an active participant as you allow life to flow. So allowing it all in, like you were talking about, and really tuning into your intuition, but also making really meaningful steps, like gaining more information as you do it.
Yeah, you gaining more information and remaining curious.
Yes.
That's the thing. It's like instead of judgmental, you replace it with curiosity.
That's actually something I absolutely love about you, is your curiosity and your self-reflection. You're always kind of diving into the complexities of our beingness, of the human experience. What do you feel like you've had to unlearn or dive more deeply to understand within yourself about this idea of success in life and what that means to you?
Such a great question. I am constantly unlearning, and I'm constantly learning the things I need to unlearn. So it's just unearthing at this point almost 45 years of programming, and we all have it, and we're all carrying around belief systems that are not our own and making choices from our subconscious. With regard to success specifically, there is so much judgment, self-judgment. And a lot of that stems from what we're taught or told to believe success is. And a lot of it stems from the complete inundation of images from, 20-year-olds making millions online, or all of this social comparison that constantly happens. I'll find myself comparing And I really must put that in check because it is the thief of joy. And remind myself that the timing is always perfect. And there is no way I could have done what I'm about to do a second sooner. And I actually read a book recently called It's Only Too Late If You Don't Start Now. It's amazing. I would recommend anyone in their late 30s, 40s, and beyond to read it because it's a beautiful reminder of how the first half of life is learning through trial and error and a lot of error. And the second half of life is living. And we have so much more wisdom. I wouldn't trade going back to my 20s for anything, to be honest. So, yeah. So success to me is, and like that story I told about realizing the forced pivot pushing me to surrender was actually a gift and has given me so much more than I could have imagined had I stayed and had my way. Success, I think, is the worldly version of success is a complete illusion. And if I had to define success for myself, it would be security in every way. And that doesn't have to be riches. And my feet in the soil. And I know you love your garden, my garden.
Mm-hmm.
Health, you know, that's it's as simple as that. And I don't need to scale my business to be some huge thing. I don't need private investors. I don't need to be concerned about the bottom line more than the people. And what I love is what I get to do every day. That's success.
It's this beautiful lens to reflect upon too. I think as we're getting older, like you said, the timing of just how it feels and defining what matters to us and what's meaningful on our own terms and not the societal rhetoric of what matters. When you are first starting H is for Love, I feel like when we're starting new ventures, new businesses, adventures, relationships, things are going on in our internal landscapes, perhaps building, moving, coming together, falling apart. When you were first starting H, what was coming undone or coming alive within you?
Such an interesting time in my life. I had two young children and I loved being a mom, but I had completely lost myself and forgotten, you know, who I was. And that's, it happens to many women when their children are young, you know, and in a loveless marriage. And so I'm just sort of, what is my life? What am I doing? I guess I'm just a maid and a cook now. And that doesn't mean I don't love my children, but really, wasn't I made for more? So that was really what I was living. And then I discovered this. So the power, we talked sometimes about the power of scent, but scent is so powerful to me. And since I was in my early 20s, I couldn't wear perfume because it gave me migraines. And of course, we know why. And so a friend was selling doTERRA. Have you heard of that MLM company?
Yeah.
And I don't know how I first was introduced to these essential oils, but I started smelling them and I could take big whiffs of them and I had no problems. And of course, I came to discover that it's because they're totally natural. So it's all these toxic chemicals in the perfumes that was causing my migraine. And my world just opened up. I was so excited and I actually started buying a bunch of them and playing with them. And then my mom started buying them. And then we got all of our friends to buy them. And I wasn't selling it, but I was really a great customer of this girl. And eventually, being that I have a curious brain, I decided to start researching how essential oils are made, where they come from, what to look for. And I discovered this whole world. Robert Tisserand, I don't remember how to pronounce his last name, but he has a lot on this. And, you know, not all essential oils are created equally. And so I discovered that I could do better. And I started going a different route. And I'm sure that was disappointing to the people up the ladder there. Like, what happened to your best customer ever? But I started creating my own products. And I discovered that I am absolutely obsessed with this, like to the point where I can retain everything I read on this stuff. I have this, my brain is a sponge. But I didn't know this about myself because I hadn't yet found my interest. So I just thought, I'm kind of smart, but, you know. But then when I discovered this stuff, I would have two monitors open and I would be on chemist chat rooms and I would just be, I could repeat everything I had read. It was wild. And so I always tell people, you know, follow your interest. And of course, this is nothing new, but it will lead to your passion. And when you do your passion, it's, you never work. So yeah, so that was what was going on with my life. So it sort of saved me from the life that I was living. Of course, I still was an excellent mother and I was cloth diapering and cooking every meal from scratch every day and, you know, dehydrating food and making sourdough bread. I was still doing everything I was doing, but I incorporated this new obsession and then eventually it led to that prayer, you know.
Talking about scent, how do you cultivate your relationship with scent and why is scent so powerful? Because it is, it's not only powerful, but it's nostalgic. It can transport us.
I would love to know the answer to that question, so I might not be the one to tell you. I know that, and I absolutely feel it's nostalgic. I almost feel it's nostalgic for other worlds. It's like we're remembering something far beyond this place. Oh my God, I just got chills. That always happens to me when I'm right. When yeah. I speak, I don't mean necessarily me, I'm right, but when I speak a truth, like a universal truth, I get chills. So that does feel like some sort of divine connection there. Regarding scent, I would just say that it is, for me, a divine dance, a dance with the divine when I formulate. So I only make a product, well, with our core products, we have 10, but there are 2 soaps, 2 lippies, but it's very minimalist and stripped down. And the reason for that is because each product does more than one thing. Each of our products, all of our products work together to bring skin to perfect balance. So it's not like here's a product for oily skin, here's a product for dry skin. So I originally would only formulate something based on need. So I made the first 5 skincare products, the facial care products, and then eventually I needed a lippy. So I made lip conditioner. And so it was based on need, but now when I make things, it's still a dance with the divine, but it's now a little more playful because I have the core needs met with the line and it keeps it interesting. So we do release the limited edition products, but every time I'm doing this, it's this, it's almost like a treasure hunt where I'm following a path and I know I'm being led. And I'll become completely obsessed. Like when I was formulating soap, I was so obsessed that I had a hard time sleeping in the morning. I would want to just get my clothes on and run to the studio to check my latest batch to see if I was right or see how it turned out. And I remember making a video for Instagram that said, like, I said, I had such a hard time sleeping in this morning because I had to remind myself, like, B, you're a mom. You can't just make soap all the time, you know? So when I would make products, I would just get really involved in that dance and I always know when it's right. I know when I've landed on something. Yeah, I mean, that's a very long-winded way to answer your question.
It's a beautiful way. And I just want to touch upon you talking about being a mom and you being like, but I have to actually mom and create. So this has actually been one of the challenges for me starting a creative business is having to constantly pivot, even if I'm in the middle of something really creative and then my kids come home from their grandparents' house and it's automatically shifting, having to stop the creative endeavor. Not that motherhood's not creative, but you know what I mean? And it's that constant ebb and flow of trying to do it. And what I've realized so much is like, there is no perfect balance with it. I once heard this quote, not sure who it's from, but you have to figure out when you're juggling all the balls as a mom, which ones are glass and which are rubber. So which, if you drop one, is just going to, it's going to bounce back. And which is glass, which it'll break. And I was like, that is so potent. Also, it's amazing when we find things that speak to our soul and our heart, how we could just do it for hours. We don't need to eat or sleep. You are just consumed by it. And I think it's a great reminder to follow those things.
If everybody did that, we would have a world of probably really joy-filled, creative people, you know? I mean, everybody is a creator. We just have that trained out of us.
Yeah. And with me in this podcast, I created these false obstacles to create excuses for myself not to begin it, because starting it is uncertain and uncomfortable, and I don't have it figured all out, and I know I'm going to make mistakes. When you're feeling that way, for me, I know one antidote is action. I just have to take action towards it. Meaningful action, but still action. What do you do when you're feeling really uncertain about beginning something? What are some things that you do that really help you start, even when it feels uncomfortable because it's really unknown?
Yeah, I'm just going to start by being really honest, because I think those are the things that connect us. I know your specific question was like, what are the things that help me to start? But to be honest, what I actually do before I question myself, I overanalyze, and then I beat myself up about the fact that I'm not doing it. So that's, I think, a universal experience, and nobody is impervious to that. But once it's one step. That's really all it is, like you said. One step, one small action taken every day. And I actually saw something recently, probably on Instagram, that said, you know, the way to do anything, absolutely anything, is to write down 10 things on a piece of paper. Maybe you've seen this. And then ask yourself, what is the one thing you want more than anything on that piece of paper? So, of course, the goal was 10 things that you want, or 10 goals. Pick the one thing you want more than anything, then get a brand new piece of paper and write that at the top of the list, and then write one thing you're going to do every day to get toward that goal. Or, you know, it's action like that. You don't see the change, but you will experience it. You'll wake up in 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. And not only will you be so much closer, but you'll be changed, and your self-confidence will be growing, and you'll be capable of doing all those other things on that list that you left behind now, you know. So it really is just action. Now, every single person feels that imposter syndrome and that doubt. And the only thing separating us are the people who bravely step into the unknown.
Yeah. And I think so often too, we overestimate what we can do in a day and underestimate what we can do in, you know, a year, 10 years, because we're like, I want it right now. I want it to be where I envision in 2-3 years. I don't want to have to do the small steps, but I love that, the actionable steps. And that also kind of touches on something I've been exploring a lot in my life lately, is you can have it all, but not all right now, all at once. And really exploring how to, okay, for this year, what are the things that I'm going to focus on, instead of trying to be like, these are all the things I want to do for the next 4 decades, which is still beautiful to have those in your mind. Yeah. But like, let's actually break it into years. What's the most vital, essential now, especially as moms, business owners,
where time is just flying by? Like, I can't imagine sitting by a river and just like watching the water. I know that that's a self-care thing, is like to go and just be still in nature. But the way people used to live, where they had time to ponder, and I know that we do what's important to us. So I know that it's within, you know, my grasp, but I'm constantly moving and I have a lot on my plate. I feel like being a mom is the best thing I've done, the best work I've done, and the thing that has been the most challenging and required the most of me of anything in my life. And
totally.
And I'm really grateful for it. And I'm also really okay with my kids getting older. I'm just going to be honest, you know, like, moms, my kids were having a complete meltdown at Trader Joe's years ago. I think they were both toddlers. And this woman said, don't wish it away. And I was like, lady, not right now.
I know. That's so often what people say once the kids are older. It's like, don't wish it away. Save for these moments. You're going to miss this. And you're like, I can feel gratitude and also be like, I will not miss the meltdowns in the middle, or where I can't sit for a second.
Yeah,
and I think that's the thing. Realizing we can have all those feelings and still be really grateful and love being a mom. And it can still be like, this is the most challenging, exhausting thing in the world.
Well, so much is put on women. I mean, we can all agree. So of course we would make it to where you can't say that motherhood is difficult without saying how much you love your kids sandwiched, you know, and of course we do, but we are still humans. And like when you don't really appreciate a day off until you have a job. I feel that way about my kids. I feel that I never appreciated my freedom before them, but when they turn 18, I am gonna enjoy every second of my life traveling. And of course they can come with me if they want to, but you know, I'm gonna be the busiest, most grateful older lady.
I think too, after becoming a mom, I realized how instrumental it was to start to infuse self-care into the little in-between moments, not the big rituals, because that wasn't happening, but really into those little micro moments. What would you say some of those in-between self-care rituals do you practice every day that really help you show up with more resilience and compassion for yourself?
Like currently what I do or what I started when I was then or then?
Let's do then, when you were in okay. The thick of it, because I feel like as the kids get older, because even my daughters now are almost 8 and almost 5, I have a little more space emotionally and physically for self-care. But like, when you're in the thick of it, when it's like,
oh yeah, I've got a story.
I don't even have
you.
Time to shower.
Yes. Oh yeah. Like can't go to the bathroom alone ever. Not allowed.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when my kids were maybe about 8 months and 2.5 or so, I had been playing with the skincare and making my own stuff, and I was overwhelmed a lot and underslept, and maybe I would even say desperate, but I would always put their needs before mine. Always, always, always. And so it took a lot for me to do this, but when I was testing propolis, our mask, I just decided one day, I'm going to go in the bathroom and close the door. Like that took a lot for me to even think that I could do that, but I did. And they were very upset about it because Dolly is only eight months at that point. So I sit her down outside the door in the hallway. So I, you know, I can hear them, and she's in her bumbo, you know, so I know she's not going anywhere, and he's there and he's upset because I've never closed them out before. And I just locked the door and I was like, oh, what's going to happen? And I went in there and I mixed a mask and they were losing it. I know they're safe. They're perfectly fine, but they were screaming bloody murder. And I was trying to peacefully apply a mask while overriding all of my mama instincts, you know, but at some point you have to say, I would look in the mirror and say, you are more than a baby making machine. You are a human being. You have needs beyond this family, you know, and that's okay. There's nothing to be ashamed about. There's nothing to feel guilty about. It took a lot for me to even get to the point where I was willing to do that. And then I decided, and I had to get through it. Probably for a couple weeks, I would have to just practice breathing exercises, because maybe it wasn't a couple weeks, but it felt like a very long time that they weren't okay with it. 5 minutes a day. I did it. I locked myself in there and I put on a mask and I tested different versions of propolis 5 minutes a day for a while. And I decided that was going to be my thing, that I would return to myself, even though it felt like I had lost myself completely. And what happened was over time, I did begin to return to myself. And I eventually left a very unhealthy marriage. And I started to take really good care of myself. And I made promises about, you know, ever getting in a relationship again and the kinds of things I would accept. And it really is those tiny baby steps every single day done consistently that have the power to change your entire world.
Yeah, it's that consistency over the intensity of it mm-hmm. that transforms. And I think, too, as mothers, realizing that when we take care of ourselves and show up for our children, once we have fully filled our own cups, using that saying, they get the best version of ourselves.
Especially when they're older. I mean,
yes.
Now I speak to my kids about it. You know, I don't make plans when they're with me. I always, you know, prioritize them, and they spend half the time at their other house. And so now I have started to, if there's something I want to do or something that's important to me, I'll say, yes, I'm going to do this thing and I'll be back in 2 hours. And there was a bit of jaw dropping from one of them, you know, just like, what? Where are you going? And I think that's really healthy for them to witness, because I'm saying, hey, I love you. Your needs are cared for. You're safe. You're taken care of. I am going to also take care of me.
Right. You are taken care of, and I am worthy of taking care of myself too, especially as they get older, to model that. And I feel like especially too for our daughters to model that. I talk about with my daughters, even who are currently 7 and 4, about, yeah, I love all of you and I love myself first. And they understand it now.
That's so good.
Yeah, like, I love you so much, but I love myself first, and that allows me to love you all.
But can you imagine if we raised girls this way, to show them, don't abandon yourself? Or to put it in a positive, and I've been trying to reframe negatives and positives. Always choose yourself. Always. Yeah. You know?
I'd love to shift a bit into talking about aging. Mm-hmm. So I know you are really committed to aging vibrantly and boldly and authentically. What is your journey like with aging today? And what do you wish younger generations knew about aging? Because I feel like they are being exposed at younger and younger ages because of social media, mm-hmm. to like these ideas of fix your face and all the things, the fillers, all of that.
And all of the celebrity culture, you know, that, I mean, it's very, very dangerous. And in my opinion, to even have all of that stuff out there, because their brains aren't even fully formed and they're thinking that they're supposed to be a certain thing. But yeah, I am in the best place I have ever been regarding aging. I recently realized, and I posted on this on my personal Instagram, but that I wasn't even aware that on a subterranean level of my thought processes, I was judging where I am now versus where I thought I was supposed to be by now. I didn't even realize this was like a conversation that was happening in my head, because I always catch myself talk. If it's anything negative, I snub that out right away, because I know that that stuff is powerful. So I'm kind to myself, but this was existing on a level I didn't quite realize. And then once I realized it, I guess I discovered it through that book. It's Only Too Late If You Don't Start Now. I really highly recommend it. But it's just, I've realized that everything we're told about aging is a lie. And I even have a hunch that it's all commerce driven. Yeah. Of course, we know that with women, right? And the consuming portion of it is the belief system that our lives are really over by the time our kids are grown. And so for women, there's almost no hope as we get older. Not for me, because I've broken out of that paradigm now, which I'm stoked about. But for women, it's sort of like, you know, okay, we are on the menu, and then we are mothers, and we're no longer allowed to have our own sexuality and our own desires, mm-hmm. or our own anything. And then we're old crones by the time we have any hope of getting our life back. But what they don't tell you, and what is so cool, is none of that is true. Actually, mm-hmm. if you don't buy into it and you treat your body well and you love yourself and you do your internal work and you go through the dark nights of the soul, because there are many, and you till the soil, as it were, you're going to come out of it and realize that everything you feared is not really real. And that your life is beginning right now. And those crow's feet are beautiful. And everything about you is beautiful. And that the love story is actually the one with yourself.
Yes. Yes. And that resonates so deeply.
And I just think, oh, everything is possible now. And when I was young, you know, that book that I was referencing that I'm clearly obsessed with because I keep talking about is talks a lot about hormones and the evolutionary drive to procreate. And the hormones, those are a very real thing. And those drive so much of that desire for partnership and that desire for so many different things. And
as that starts to fade as well, we're freed up to think about our life differently and to actually take all of that energy and pour it into creativity and pour it into building the life that we actually want, not the one that we just somehow fell into because we adopted belief systems that we were too young to realize were not our own.
Yeah. Unconsciously just moving through it to the next thing.
Milestone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's something that you're reclaiming or honoring within yourself in this season of your life that you didn't feel maybe okay or comfortable claiming or feeling before?
Being alone. I always passed judgment on being alone, thinking that because I actually, this was another epiphany for me recently. I didn't even know that I held a belief that if I didn't have a partner, I was doing something wrong, or that somehow maybe I'm hard to live with, or maybe, you know, nobody wants to grow old alone, they say, or all of these different things. I've reached this point where I, like the thing where I told you, I avoided the pivot because I was passing judgment on the pivot. And the minute I removed the judgment, I'm free to enjoy the spoils of what the universe is offering me. I'm removing the judgment of what it means to be alone and realizing how much bliss can come, how much creativity, how much work can get done, how much silence allows more growth and introspection. And that doesn't mean I'll always be alone, but I never knew how good it could be. And the timing is perfect.
There's a book by Pema Chodron. She's an American Buddhist nun. Mm-hmm. I think it's from her one, The Places That Scare Us. Mm-hmm. And it talks about how so often we're grasping to the things that we know, even grasping to the judgment because it's what we know. And when we finally allow the floor to no longer exist underneath us, and that floor is the comfort, the certainty, what we're used to, that is when the real joy, bliss, enlightenment comes. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
If you could go back to a younger B when you're first starting your business, what advice would you give her?
That there are going to be ups and downs, many of them. And if you can rest in the faith that you're held, you're always held. You can avoid all of the worry and all of the self-judgment and just enjoy this beautiful ride.
And if your products could whisper one truth to every person who experiences them, what would that truth be?
You are loved. There would be a lot of truths. Actually, when I drop packages at the post, and I still do that because years ago I tried to arrange for USPS to pick up our packages because we would have a bunch of them and it just took a lot, and they just, a couple times they didn't show up, and you pay a fee and you never get your fee back, you know? So I was just like, okay, I now just hand deliver. I just drop off all the packages. And when I do that, I put them in the Dropbox because a lot of times I'll go late at night and I put them in the Dropbox and I move the handle up and they drop down on the other side. And I always say loving prayers and blessings over each package as I send them out. And it's funny because I've heard from many, many people that they feel the love in our products, that they feel so much love. I mean, thousands of emails over the years. And I just think, I know that we pour love into everything. I know the farmers care about the soil before they plant. I know every step is love, but I do an additional blessing when I mail, and I know they feel that, you know, that they're loved, that they're lovable, that they're enough, that they're worthy. I hope they lock that door and take 5 minutes a day just for themselves.
I know.
now to kind of end with 10 rapid fire questions.
Love it.
Okay. A book that changed you.
I mean, there are so many at this point. Since I already mentioned the other one, I'll say Don Miguel Ruiz, The Mastery of Love.
Best advice you've ever received?
I know immediately. It's from an entrepreneur woman that I really look up to. When I was starting my business, I know it's supposed to be rapid fire, but you just have to have the backstory.
She said, I love it.
Okay, she's incredible. But she said, we had coffee. I said, I've built this website. I've made these products. And I've been so excited for this launch. And I realized I had no idea how to run a business. I didn't go to business school. I have no idea. And she said, every day you'll wake up and you'll have no idea how to do what's on your plate. And by the end of every day, you will have figured it out.
One place you've always wanted to visit.
Santorini.
Three foods always in your fridge.
Watermelon, coconut water, humic and fulvic minerals.
A quote that resonates deeply with you.
Oh my God, it has to be something from Mary Oliver. What will you do with your one wild and precious life?
Morning person or night owl?
Depends on what I did the morning or night before. I mean, not that I do anything wild. Sometimes I scroll too long at night and then... No, but I would say I'm a morning person first and foremost, but I do tend to stay up a little too late for a morning person.
Something that leaves you in absolute awe.
The tiniest little things, the birds flying outside, that oak tree that I'm staring at, the fact that I'm sitting here talking to you.
If your life had a title right now, what would it be?
I know. Rapid fire. Hold on. Give me a second. Begin again.
What's always in your bag or always with you?
Lip conditioner.
A ritual that brings you back to yourself.
Baths. Epsom salt baths, Dead Sea salt baths. Touching my skin. The scents of these products.
And let everyone know where they can find H's for Love.
Well, through you at Honor Earth Apothecary, number one. And at... H_is_4_love on Instagram. And our website is h4love.com for the word, not the number.
Thank you, Bea. Thank you so much for listening to the Honor Hour podcast. If you enjoyed the episode, I'd be so grateful if you shared it with a friend or left a review. And if you'd like to bring more plant medicines into your life, you can visit Honor Earth Apothecary at www.honorearthapothecary.com. Well, thanks again. And until next time, stay grounded, revere the sacred ordinary, and remember to keep honoring the moments that matter most.